Good morning, Lakeland family and guests. Thank you for connecting with us today. I'm excited to open God's Word and study it with you together. So I invite you to please open your Bibles to Psalm 23 as we continue our study of this psalm together this morning. Psalm 23. Sometimes when our oldest son, Titus, is in his room playing, I will hear him singing. And he'll be singing the song, Jesus Loves Me. Jesus loves me, this I know. Or he may be singing the Bible song, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. When I hear him singing these songs, it's such a blessing to my heart. It just warms me in my inner person. And the reason Titus is able to recall the words to those songs, the reason those songs have stuck with him is because Melody and I have sung them over and over to him and with him. We repeatedly come back to those songs, and now he's able to recall them. Over the last several weeks, we've been studying a song together. We've been studying Psalm 23. The Psalms actually are ancient songs written by various writers. And Psalm 23 is an ancient hymn that King David composed, and he sung to God. This is a song where David expresses his trust and his confidence in God. And while we may not have been going around over the last several weeks singing Psalm 23, I hope that by revisiting this psalm, as we've been studying it verse by verse, Sunday after Sunday, I hope it's been sticking with you. I hope you've been praying it to God at various points. I hope you've been meditating on it throughout the days. I hope that you have been reciting it, that it's been easier for you to recall. This psalm is a psalm where David, as we have learned, he compares God to a caring shepherd in verses 1 through 4 and a gracious host in verses 5 through 6. And as our caring shepherd and gracious host, we learn that David is teaching us that God provides for all of our needs. When David says in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, he wants us to understand that God is the one who provides for us so that we will lack nothing that we need. And as we've studied verses 2 through 3 over the last several Sundays, we've seen as our caring shepherd, God, he provides, first of all, sustenance for us. We've seen also that he provides renewal for us. And then third of all, we've seen that God provides guidance. This morning, we're going to be looking at verse 4, and we're going to see an additional way in which God specifically provides for us as our caring shepherd. So let's look at the psalm together. Let's read it, and then we will examine verse 4 together. Let's read the text starting in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father, we are excited to study this passage again this morning. And we're just asking you to open our eyes to see this way in which you provide for us as our caring shepherd in verse 4. And we pray it in the matchless, the amazing, God, in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So in verse 4, David continues to provide for us a specific way in which God is our caring shepherd. He provides for his people. And what we see in verse 4 is that as our caring shepherd, God provides protection. As a shepherd, would lead his sheep in and out of the sheepfold to find pasture and also to water. Sometimes the shepherd would have to lead his sheep through valleys. These valleys would be ravines of some sort or canyons of some sort. And these valleys would be places of darkness because of the high walls of the cliffs, because they would block the sun. you couldn't see as well passing through these valleys, so they would be characterized by darkness. And they would also be places of danger. They were dangerous, first of all, because they were just difficult to navigate, ascending and descending. That terrain could be rocky, it could be steep, and so that made them difficult and dangerous. But they were also dangerous because they were dark, because lurking in the shadows, hiding in the dark, there may have been predators, other animals waiting to attack the sheep, or even robbers waiting to steal or to attack the shepherd himself. And so the shepherd had this responsibility as he was leading his sheep through these valleys of darkness and danger to provide them secure passage, to get them through those places and back to the sheepfold safely. And to protect his sheep, the shepherd would carry with him a rod and staff. Now, some commentators think that the rod and staff, which David mentions here in verse 4, refers to one implement. It was one instrument that was described in two different ways. But probably what we have in what David has in mind here were actually two different implements. So one, the rod would have been a shorter club-like stick, which was used as a weapon to ward off and to defend the sheep against predators and possibly even thieves. And the staff would have been this longer stick. We would think of this like a shepherd's crook. And it was used for multiple purposes. It was used for support and walking. It was used for disciplining the sheep. If they started to stray, the shepherd would use this stick to guide them back onto the course where they should be walking as they're going through these valleys. But it could also be used for protection as well. David understands that as God's people, just like sheep would have to go through valleys in our spiritual journey, in the life that we live, there are going to be times where we're going to have to walk through valleys. Look at what David says, the metaphor he uses in verse 4. He says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me." This valley of the shadow of death that David references, this is a metaphor which refers to those experiences in life that may be dark, may be difficult, they may be dangerous and even deathly. In life's journey, we may find sometimes ourselves in a situation where we simply cannot see the way out and it's a dark time. Maybe even thinking about the current COVID situation where some of us in our church and more people in our community where they've lost their jobs and there's been an economic downturn and we really can't see the way forward. How are we going to find another job when it seems most companies are not hiring at this point? How are we going to make ends meet when it doesn't look like we can find a job? And so that may be a dark time that some of you are experiencing right now, and there may be many other types of dark situations. We may even find ourselves in a crisis where we're pressed to the point where we just do not think that we can handle it. Or maybe we find ourselves in a situation where our very lives are threatened. God often calls us to places, ministry contexts, where we are to evangelize and where we are to serve others. And what if God calls you to a place where there's gang concentration or there's a high drug concentration? And if that were God's calling on your life, as God does that for some people, that would be a context where persecution would be likely and there would be pushback for the gospel. Or we may even find ourselves at a point where death is staring us right in the face. Maybe we've received a terminal diagnosis and we know that we don't have long before we're going to breathe our last breath and death is just right around the corner. Or maybe we find ourselves in some accident some tragic accident, and we know that we're not going to make it through, and we've only got a few minutes left to live, or maybe even a few hours. Whatever these valleys of the shadow of darkness may be for us, when David encountered them in life, look at what David says. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, I fear no evil. David was unafraid. He was confident. He was strong. He was reassured during these times that he was unafraid of what might happen. And we too can have that kind of confidence that whatever comes our way in life, we don't have to be afraid of evil people or evil things or even the evil one, Satan himself. And why not? Well, David gives us two reasons in verse 4. We don't have to fear when we're in these valleys of darkness and even death, because number one, the Lord abides with us. Look at what David says in verse 4. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, I fear no evil, for you are with me. God's presence with David made all the difference in life for him when he was facing these uncertain situations in life. When David thought about the presence of God, he was not thinking about some warm, fuzzy feeling. No, David truly believed, and he was reassured and strengthened in his inner man when he thought about God's presence, because God was absolutely, truly with David. When I'm outside with my boys and we're taking a walk, we're in our neighborhood or in a park or something like that, there'll be times when I'm out in front of my two sons and I'm letting them follow behind me. I'm letting them walk at their own leisure. But if we're in a parking lot, you better believe I'm not out in front. I've got them side by side with me. I'm holding their hands. I am pulling them back. I'm slowing them down. Why? Because that's a place of danger. There are cars that are pulling in, pulling out, and driving by. And so I'm not out front leading and allowing them to walk at their own leisure to get to where we're going. No, I'm giving them a personal escort. And I love the imagery that David gives us here of God as our protective shepherd in these instances of going through the valleys of the shadow of death and life. God is not this shepherd who's out front and he's a ways away from us. No, David says, you are with me. There's this picture that God is giving David a personal escort. Just as my presence with my son in those dangerous situations makes all the difference in their lives, so does God's personal presence with us make all the difference for us in life. And this is the good promise we see in the New Testament in Jesus Christ, that our God is truly with us. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 23, we see that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came into the world, and he was given the title Emmanuel. And that word, Emmanuel, means God with us. Jesus Christ, come down from heaven, was God with us. We get all the way to the end of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 20, when Jesus gives us the great commission to go make disciples of all the nations, to spread the gospel, to bring people into the church, and to raise them up to maturity in Christ. This is what Jesus says. He says, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Do you see that promise from the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew to the end? Jesus is our faithful shepherd who is with us. If you know Christ this morning, I want you to let this sink into your heart that you are not alone. Christ is with you in your jobless crisis. He's with you in your marital conflict. He's with you in your emotional distress. He's with you in your money shortage. He's with you in your health diagnosis that is shaking you on the insides. And whatever other dark, difficult, dangerous, or deadly scenario is ahead for you, you will not be alone. Jesus Christ will not abandon you. He is right by your side. And he's the courageous, wise, and capable one who will keep us. And I love what David does in verse 4 when he thinks about the good shepherd being by his side and escorting him through these dangerous and deathly times in life. Look at what he does. He's no longer speaking about God, but he starts speaking to God. Pay attention in verse 4. He says, I fear no evil, for you are with me. He begins to talk to God. If you find yourself this morning in one of those valleys in life, and you've been scared, you don't have to be afraid. What I want you to do is I want you to do what David did. I want you to talk to God, and I want you to remind yourself of the truth that in Christ Jesus, you have a good shepherd who's with you, and he's not going to leave you. He is there with you in the mess. He's there in the crisis. He's there in the threats. He's with you, and you are not alone. Talk to him. Sing about it as David sang about it. Pray about it as David prayed about it. Remind yourself that you are not alone. So we don't have to fear when we go through these valleys of darkness and danger and death, because the Lord abides with us. But also we see, we also don't have to fear when we go through these kinds of valleys, because the Lord acts for us. He doesn't just abide with us, but he acts for us. When David thought about the shepherd protecting the sheep as they would go through these canyons or ravines, he thought about the rod and the staff, which reminded him that a shepherd acts and he intervenes in the lives of the sheep to come to their rescue and to discipline them when they need it, but to protect them ultimately to get them safely back to the fold. And so when he thinks about God having this rod and staff, not that God has a literal rod and staff, but he's thinking of God as being a God who's not just with us, standing by passively as our shepherd, but he is a shepherd who actively intervenes in all of life's situations for us. If you were getting ready to leave your house, and let's say you open your garage and you're 2-, 3-, 4-year-old son or daughter just jets out the door and begins to run under the garage doors that's opening, and they're heading towards the street, and you see a car coming, you're not just going to stand back to just see what happens. You're not going to just observe and think, wow, boy, she sure can run fast. No, you're going to take off running after them. You're going to be calling them to pull them back. You're going to do everything you can to rescue your child from danger. And that's the picture we have of God as our good shepherd. He is one who intervenes for us. Jesus does not sit on his throne in heaven above, uninvolved and disengaged and uncaring for what's going on in our lives. No, he is our good shepherd who's with us and he's working for us by means of his absolute power and wisdom. He defends us from all evil things, all evil people, and even the evil one. Because Jesus gives us defense and protection, that doesn't mean that we won't hurt and have setbacks and disappointments and difficulties in life. By no means. The Bible does not teach that. But what it does teach us and what we can be reassured of is if our loving, caring, protective shepherd is the one who's on watch, and he's defending us and he's protecting us, whatever does come into our life, we can know that it's been filtered through his grace. And he intends it for good in our lives. And we can rest assured knowing that as the one who not only abides with us, but acts for us, because he's there to intervene, when we're in those situations that are difficult to navigate, he's going to be the one who keeps our feet from slipping, and we're going to be able to keep getting up and making progress to get to the destination that he has for us. When we're in that dark situation and there's a cloud over us and we just can't see the way out, he will be the one who breaks through that darkness to give us light and to show us the way forward. He will be the one who'll close the door and he'll keep us from moving forward in a way that would be bad for us and that wouldn't be his best. He will be that shepherd who disciplines to keep us on the right track. He'll be the one when we are being attacked from people that have more resources than we have, who have a louder voice than we have, who are stronger than we are. He will be the one who stands up for us because he's not scared. He is the courageous one, and he will come to our rescue. And when that time comes for death, Jesus Christ will be the one who will be there with us, so that when we breathe that last breath, that very next moment, he will translate us into his eternal presence. We see here in Psalm 23, verse 4, that David had no fear in the valleys, but was comforted and encouraged because he knew the Good Shepherd was abiding with him and acting for him. You may be watching this morning, you may be thinking, well, when has God ever intervened in my life to protect me? When has he ever done anything to defend me? My life has been nothing but hard. I've struggled all my life financially. I've been in abusive contexts with people that I thought who loved me. I've never been able to get ahead. Every day has just been one hard day after another. When has God ever delivered me and helped me and protected me? Well, the Bible tells us 2,000 years ago that our Good Shepherd, he showed the ultimate expression of his protection for us, for the world. The Bible tells us that God came down from heaven, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and he became a man. And he came into this world, and the Bible tells us he lived a perfect life, and he came to give his life up on the cross. To die for you, to die for me, to die for the whole world. And you say, well, why would Jesus come to die? What good did that do me? Well, the Bible tells us our greatest enemies in this world are not poverty or are not relationship struggles or economic or political scenarios. Our greatest enemies are sin and death. Inside of all of us, we have this nature that rebels against God, and it has eternal consequences. It leads us to disobey God, and there's a judgment hanging over us, so that one day when we stand before God, if we are not forgiven of our sins because he's holy, we can't inherit heaven. The Bible tells us because of that sin, there's the penalty of death. Not just physical death, but spiritual death, to be cast away from the presence of God for all of eternity, to be punished in a literal hell. And Jesus Christ came to defend us from those foes. He came to stand up for the world by being the courageous one who would humble himself. Though he was God, he was willing to allow the world to crucify him to a cross. And as he was dying on that cross, God the Father in heaven accepted what God the Son did on that cross as payment in full for our sins against him. And through Jesus' death, he was put into the grave and resurrected on the third day. His resurrection signals that he defeated sin and death for us. He made possible for us to escape the coming judgment. He made possible for us to know the forgiveness of sins. He made possible for us to receive new life, and one day to beat death, to receive a resurrected, glorified body. Jesus said in John 10:10, he said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You see, because of Jesus, death for the Christian, it's lost its terror. We could say with the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1 that to die is gain. Our good shepherd, Jesus Christ, who sacrificed himself to conquer death for us. He came and he showed that he is a protector. He came to show that he is a defender. If you're watching and you've never trusted in Christ and you've never turned from your sins so that you can receive his forgiveness and so that the victory he has over sin and death can be given to you, I plead with you this morning. Realize that God has shown his love for you, that Jesus has shown his love for you, and that he came to pay the penalty for your sin in the life that he lived, in the death that he died, so that you could beat death in the end, and that you could have an eternal, life-changing relationship with the God who created you. I plead with you, give your life to Jesus this morning. And brothers and sisters, Lakeland family, let Jesus's protection for us at the cross be a comfort as we think about every other threatening, difficult, dark situation in life. If Jesus came down and he dealt with our greatest enemies, and make no mistake, sin and death are our greatest enemies, will he not deliver us and protect us and intervene for us and be with us through all of life's lesser situations where we need protection? Most assuredly. So think on the cross this week. Think on the cross this day, as we're about to have an opportunity to sing one last song and to worship him together this morning. And be encouraged that the good shepherd who defeated death for you so that you don't have to fear death, he's the one who will protect you in every scenario where your life is threatened or where life is difficult for you. As our caring shepherd, we see in Psalm 23 that God provides sustenance. He provides renewal. He provides guidance, and he provides protection. Peter Craig, in his commentary on Psalm 23, he makes an interesting observation about Jesus' words in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus claims to be the good shepherd. His observation is this: when Jesus claims to be the good shepherd, he is not just merely using a metaphor that people would be familiar with who knew the Hebrew scriptures. He's claiming something much more. In Psalm 23, God, the one true God, is the shepherd who provides all of these specific things that David enumerates in those verses. And so when Jesus claims to be the good shepherd in John chapter 10, he's claiming to be the one who provides what God the shepherd provides in Psalm 23. And thus, he is asserting and he's claiming to all that he himself is God. Jesus is not just a good man. He wasn't just a prophet. He was not just a supernatural being. He was our God who came down from heaven, our good shepherd who came to lay down his life for his sheep. And we see in the New Testament that Jesus fulfills all these shepherding functions that we see in Psalm 23. John chapter 10, verse 9, he's the one who sustains us. He says, "I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture." When you come to know Jesus, he will provide for your every need physically and spiritually. He's the one who renews us. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. Jesus says, "Come to me and I will give you rest. I will be the one who gives you rest for your souls." He will make us new spiritually, give us a life-changing relationship with God, the Father, and himself, and the Holy Spirit, and he will provide us what we need from day to day to be revitalized in body and in soul. He's the one who guides us. Mark chapter 1, verse 17 records a command that we see throughout the gospel. Jesus says, "Follow me." He's telling others that I'm the shepherd. I'm the king that you're to submit to. Where I'm going, attach your life to me and follow me, and I will lead you into God's perfect good plan for your life. And then we see in John 10, 27 and 28 that he's our good shepherd who protects us. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me, and I will give eternal life to them. They will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." Jesus says, when someone comes to me and they turn from their sin and they trust in me and they surrender their life to me, I've got a grip on them, my Father's got a grip on them, and we will never let them loose. He will lead us safely through all of life's journey, and he will bring us securely into his presence at the end of our days. Jesus Christ is our good shepherd who fulfills all these functions. He protects us. Do you need protection? Do you need that reassurance in your heart today, whatever your situation you're facing in life? Use this last song to meditate on this truth that even though you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to fear because Jesus is with you and Jesus is for you. Jesus is fighting for you. And if you're watching this morning and you've never submitted your life to Jesus Christ and you have never turned from sin to know the peace and the joy and the rescue that Jesus provides from death, from sin, and from hell, we're going to invite you this morning to pray a prayer. There's nothing special about the words I'm going to lead you in, but if it's the desire of your heart to know Jesus as the ultimate protector of your soul, then I invite you to pray this prayer, and we'd love to connect with you if this is what you want in your life. So would you please pray with me? Father, thank you for Psalm 23. We thank you that though life is filled with dark, difficult, dangerous, and even deadly scenarios in life, that we are protected through them all, that you abide with us and you act for us. And we know that that acting has been ultimately realized in Jesus Christ coming down and defeating our greatest enemies for us, sin and death. Lord, if there's someone watching who needs to know you in a personal relationship, will you give them the courage to pray a prayer something like this? Dear God, I know that I have sinned against you. Lord, my life has been marked by a rebellion of so many kinds. My words, my thoughts, my actions, my desires. I agree with Scripture that I am a person who has fallen short of your glory. I'm not perfect like you are. And I know that the judgment for my sin is separation from you, not just in this life, but in the life to come. That there is a place called hell where you justly deal with those who have rebelled against you and your holiness. God, I don't want to go there. I don't want to be separated from you for eternity. I don't want to be separated from you during the days that you give me on this life and on this earth that I have remaining. So in the best way I know how, this morning, I confess to you that I want to turn from my sin. I want to leave it behind. I want to put those ways to death. And I want the life that you offer me, a changed life. I want the forgiveness that you offer through Christ, the Son of God, who came and lived the perfect life that I can't live, and who died the death that I deserve to die on the cross, and who you raised from the dead on the third day as my shepherd king, who has conquered my greatest enemies of sin and death. I give my life to him. All my days moving forward, I want to trust him with my life, and I want to trust him with my eternity. Help me to follow him wherever he leads me. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, we want to connect with you and help you start off your walk with God in the right way. So we encourage you, will you please text the word decision to the number at the bottom of the screen, and we will contact you, we'll connect with you, and we'll help you start off your walk with God. Lakeland, let's worship God during this last song together, and let's think about what it means for God, for Jesus, to be our good shepherd who protects us.